FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Yeah. We had an opportunity for Yates. Oh! FC have taken the lead. Tom Greaves, a static defence from Stockport County. Welcome back, Boston's opportunity. They are! He's there!
First time shot comes in.
Jake Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell.
And mainly, he's one-on-one. It's This is quite unbelievable!
And I don't think anybody would have written this script with the exception of FC Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to this week's edition of This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. On this week's show, we'll have reaction and interviews from Saturday's league game against Scarborough Athletic. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week in winning ways as FC United progress through to the second qualifying round of this season's FA Cup with a fine 6-2 victory over Pontefract Coles on Tuesday night.
And Dodd ploughing down that left-hand side. Coquelin battling for it and a good run on the left-hand side. Dodd as well brings it into the box from the left. He's got options here. And it's a 1-0. And it's Ennis. Well, the goal machine. He came on Saturday and scored, and it was a lovely move down the left-hand side there. Dodd broke down the left there, took the return ball, played it infield, and there's space there for FC's number 7, Charlie Ennis, and a perfect finish. Lavercomb brings it forward to Stead. Stead plays it forward on the turn. Is Linney takes it over halfway, brings it infield to Donoghue. Donoghue, Ennis dummies it. And Donoghue, the ball ends up now with Coquelin. Coquelin slips it there for Donoghue. Donoghue across, Linney! 2-0! Well worked by FC United. Patient passing there. And then lovely cross and great finish. Linney, Maswell and Morris. Morris, Griffiths, Linney. FC with time to play here. Finding the spaces as Linney's got Dodd out there. It's a decent looking ball. Dodd,
that's,
can he get
a lovely
ball. Coquelin's in there. It's 3-0. And FC United running amok here. We've played just over a quarter of an hour. And FC United into a 3-goal lead. Good patient football in the midfield there. Ball played out to the left. Cross in there, scores his debut goal for FC United, and the home side into a 3-goal lead. Coquelin the scorer, and Linney on the turn. Over halfway, Linney. And breaks for him out to the left-hand side to the inevitable Dodd. Linney chases it to the byline, and quite a heavy challenge there, Wormsley. And it's a penalty! Well, that was
It was the challenge started inside the area, I believe.
But also, it's a very unnecessary challenge for a defender when an attacker's going wide.
Yeah.
To be fair, you could see that challenge was about to happen a mile off, couldn't you?
Yeah.
And so could Linney.
Yeah. Maybe hints of frustration involved in that one.
And Charlie Ennis, well, he's got a goal in each game so far, and now he's got a chance to double his tally for tonight. And FC with a chance to go 4-0 ahead now. Challenge for Emery. Ennis, no mistake. Really is an expert with a dead ball, and with just over half an hour gone, it's Charlie Ennis with his second of the game, his third of the season from the spot this time. And FC United starting to move out of sight now. FC 4, Pontefract Collieries 0. 33 minutes gone, FC United 4, Pontefract Collieries 0. Jack Lanahan, good account of himself on Saturday, right back as he has done during pre-season, and gets an early call tonight. Now it's Morris. Ennis spreads this out. Lanahan takes it nicely. Ball in field to Linney. Griffiths always looks, he has time on the ball, Griffiths, but Ennis can't quite control that one, but it will come back for Griffiths. And the ball out on the right-hand side now to Lenehan. At 30 yards out, right-hand side. On the turn is Linney, edge of the box. Linney, nice-looking ball. Oh, and then it hits the post. Within a whisker of a hat-trick, but it comes out now to Griffiths, who thinks about a shot. But now it's with Donoghue. Donoghue takes it towards the box. Linney tries to get it back to Donoghue. Goes for Donoghue, yes. Left-footed. It's 5-0. FC United tearing Pontefract apart here. Couldn't deal with it there, Pontefract. A couple of misplaced clearances picked up there. And Donoghue got the ball from Linney there on the turn there with his left foot. Great finish there, well placed. No chance for Emery. FC United with a quintet. And there's still 10 minutes to go to half time. Nathan Modeste is the man with the ball at his feet, waiting to restart this contest. The referee just has a quick look around. And
looks like a change in formation. It looks like a 3-3-4-ish. Now that Pontefract are going to start this second half with obviously more positive, push more players forward, and we're off.
And Clare, under a little bit of pressure, puts it to the right-hand side. And Nebbard, long ball forward. And Modeste there gets on the end of this one. And that's a good-looking finish. What a response from Pontefract Collieries. Down the field it came from Nebbard. And a great chase from Nathan Modeste. And he chipped Dan Lavercombe. And I don't think that that will delight Neil Reynolds, that FC were caught cold at the back there. But great finish from Modeste.
Yeah, mugged a bit for that one. But as you say, a lovely little lifted ball over Lavercombe. And it's FC United 5, Pontefract Collieries 1.
13 seconds of the second half and Pontefract get one back. Well, that will be a delight to Andy Monkhouse, the coach. And FC just giving a little... well, they were almost caught cold in the opening seconds of the first half. And this time, they have been caught cold. Ball is played back. And Emery has to get rid of it very hurriedly, and that's just Wormsley. Good pressing from FC, but they'll bring it away. And ball under pressure is Tingle. Now it's Wormsley on his own 18-yard line. Spreads it out left-hand side. Ben Gordon to take it over halfway, left-hand side. Modeste wants it, but it's played out to the left-hand side. Gordon will run on. It's good covering from Potts, but Gordon has it. Infield, edge of the box, a shot. Oh, what a goal!
Screamer.
It's 5-2.
It's from a few yards outside the left-hand side of the penalty area.
All
one.
The credit in the world to Pontefract. It's Dan Keane. The ball was played on the left-hand side. Good work from Gordon there. Played it infield. And Dan Keane with an absolute, a scorcher there. And it's 5-2. Well, it's got interesting. And Bailey in the way there with a half clearance. Donoghue again picking up that second ball, and Linney with quite a heavy challenge. And it will, well, in fact, it goes the other way, and it will be a free kick. And this could be another opportunity for Ennis, a little bit further out this time. But Ennis, in fact, not going forward to take this one, which suggests that Griffiths, well, he may try one, but in fact, he tries a quick one. And Morris has gone across, and it's a wonderful piece of opportunity. And I have to say, as a man who often bemoans quick free kicks there, quickly taken there. Great cross from Luke Griffiths. And Aaron Morris comes in with a great run to finish it on the volley with his left foot, 6-2 FC.
He ran a long way for that ball, did Aaron Morris. I was watching him. He came right from the halfway line for it.
I think taking the free kick that quickly didn't give the chance for anyone to give anyone offside.
Good as I've seen. You know, I've just equaled it to maybe Buxton, Hideaway. Anyone who was here tonight was lucky to see that first half performance. And as a manager or as a coaching staff, when you see things come to fruition the way they did tonight, there's no better feeling. And you could tell they were hungry. They probably weren't brave enough on Saturday in different areas tonight. To a man, they were absolutely exceptional. Some of the goals and some of the patterns of play that we created in the first half were just a joy to watch. And as a manager, you know, sometimes you're standing there quite nervous. Tonight, I thought I was a fan. I really enjoyed the first half performance.
And it's no exaggeration to say it could have been more than five.
It could have been. I mean, listen, fair play to Pontefract. You know, they came at us the first 5 minutes of the game, and to be 5-0 down at half time and then come and have a go. You know, we're not happy with the goal, first goal we conceded. But you've got to credit them. You know, they came out and had a go, and, you know, we wish them all the best for the season. But then, you know, we put our foot on the ball second half from chance after chance, and, you know, the goal, Aaron Morris's goal, the ball from Griffiths, and the goal was exquisite. But for us, you know, it's brilliant. You know, we're unbeaten Saturday against Nantwich. We've followed it up with an FA Cup win. We look forward to the Scarborough game now Saturday, but I couldn't be more delighted. I'm certainly going to sleep easy tonight.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds speaking to Tim on Tuesday night following his side's 6-2 victory over Pontefract Coles in the FA Cup. And the winning theme continued through to Friday evening as well, when FC United's younger players progressed to the second qualifying round of this season's FA Youth Cup, with a 2-0 win over West Didsbury and Chorlton at Broadhurst Park.
And this is going to be another long throw-in by West Didsbury in towards the FC United penalty area. This time from the left-hand side, in it comes towards the edge of the six-yard box. It's flicked on, but it's going to get cleared. The clearance is deflected, but it's going to be comfortable for Fieldhouse, who retains possession for FC.
I think, if I recall from some of the friendlies, I think Fieldhouse's distribution was quite good in some of the friendlies he played.
That's a brilliant ball.
That's a great ball.
And De Costa's onside. De Costa's got to score here, surely. Goalkeeper palms it. And there's De Costa following up for the second bite of the cherry, and he can't miss that one from 2 yards out.
He's having a bit of this one, Lenny. He's having a bit of this.
Lenny Fieldhouse, and rightfully so, you know. He's coming from his own goal line to celebrate with his team. A superb, fantastic ball over the top. De Costa with a brilliant time run. And on 16 minutes, FC United take the lead. And into the first minute of added time now in this first half. Throw-in taken. Headed back. And now FC United can build something here, with an opportunity to create a chance just before half time, and it falls to De Costa. De Costa now, he's lined up a shot on his left foot, it's deflected.
Got it. Oh, what a goal!
Just beyond the reach of Bradley Harris, and right on the stroke of half time, FC United have doubled their lead. Paul.
Well, it was like the last kick of the half, really, and we threaded the ball from right to left. De Costa teed himself up for a shot, there was a defender in the way. I think it took a nick off him and just crept in to the far post.
I don't know why I shouted what a goal, because to be honest with you, if it not hit the defender, it probably wouldn't have gone in.
Hey, but if you hit it on target.
Absolutely. No, I'm not saying
anything could happen.
I'm talking about more my comment than the goal, to be fair.
What else have you got to add to that goal commentary?
No, I think that's right. I think what I will add is, of course, the old cliche of it's right before half time. And you know,
oh, I was going to say that.
Oh. Dear listener, I didn't say anything. Go and say it, Ben. Say it now. No, it's all right. Nobody caught me. You're all right.
A superb performance by FC Academy.
Brilliant performance. You know, the boys, they've worked really hard leading up to this. You know, we say when the lads come into the academy, it's the cup really that they all look forward to playing in. You know, they get to play in this fantastic stadium. The pitch is superb. Obviously, Jimmy and Graham doing a lot of work on it. They work hard. It's been great. But yeah, they've worked really hard, and so the result, they deserve the result, you know, and it's been a good night.
Both goals by Sandro, I mean, they're completely opposite. One was the ball bounced in the area, you know, he got on the end of it, and basically it was a 2 yard tapping, but they all count. And then the other one from the edge of the area, just as you thought the first half was sort of going to die,
basically
that just killed the game, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. You know, it was quite a crucial time as well. You know, I've been trying to drill into them for the last few weeks now. Shoot, we don't do enough of it. And you know, there it shows an example. You get your shot off, it takes deflection, you know, it went in. But it's an exciting player, Sandro. You know, he works hard, he's exciting, he's got tricks in his locker. 1v1 situations, you know, I'll back him all day. Work on his other side of the game, and when he loses it, just working a little bit harder to get back in and try and win it back. But you know, it'll come that he's still young, and you know, we've got him for the next 2 years, so we'll work with him a lot.
And the other player that caught my attention was number 9, Amado.
Kelvin's another one who works his socks off. He's got a great attitude. You know, he's down here all the time. He does voluntary work with the local kid groups outside the local football club. And you know, he's got a great attitude. He loves being around here. He works hard. When he first came in, Kelvin is, you know, he wasn't quite at the pace. But again, like I say, you know, he's worked hard. He's strong. He can hold the ball up. So when you've got two really quick, exciting players on either side of him, in Taylor and Sandro, it can work quite well.
Okay, so we're looking forward to the next round. Any ideas who we'll get?
It's Macclesfield.
All right,
we've
fantastic.
Got Macclesfield. Yeah, so it's a little bit tough to do some cutting on these, but no, we'll be able to have a look at Macclesfield and see what they're about. So
brilliant.
Looking forward to it.
FC United's academy manager Tom Conroy speaking to Tim there. And finally, for this week's news, during FC Live's halftime coverage of Friday's FA Youth Cup tie, Ben caught up with FC United first team manager Neil Reynolds for his views on how the youth team is progressing, as well as for the mood in the camp ahead of the big league game for the men's team against Scarborough.
Really impressed. I think FC have thoroughly deserved the lead. What I do like is that obviously Brian Richardson, Chappie, myself are here, and then for me, two standout performers on the pitch tonight: Tyler, left back, who's been around the first team in pre-season, and obviously Sandro, who scored both goals. So, you know, they've done well and they fully deserve their opportunity in the first team. And you know, we've just been talking about Sandro. He's not far away. You know, he's not far.
Pacey, isn't he?
Yeah, he's pacey. He's 16. Do you know?
He's 16.
He's 16. You know who he is.
That's exciting.
He reminds me of Elliot Samoas. It's just a comparison, the way he travels with the ball, his confidence, and
he's got a good centre of gravity on him, hasn't he?
Put 18 months on him. Go and watch him fill out, and I think he's got a massive future here. We're lucky that, you know, the recruitment that Tom and the team are putting in, he's really good. But when you sit here and you watch the youth coming through, you know, you're really proud of him. So, you know, so far so good.
Now, obviously, it's early days in your tenure as manager. You've only actually had two seasons, I'm going to say.
How
important is the youth setup to FC United, and what you want to achieve as manager of the first team?
I think when I first came in, Ben, you know, we know about the trials and tribulations that I was faced with, and I couldn't really get to grips with the academy because there was so much work to do with the first team. Obviously, at the end of the relegation season, we had to rebuild the squad, and we were looking, you know, at players that we knew, and probably the academy didn't get a look into what they should do. But I think on the back of last season, when you get a settled first team and you know that the majority of your squad are coming back again, that gave me a real opportunity to look at the academy, and I've done lots of work with them this pre-season. You know, I've been into their training, I've seen a lot of the games, I've been in around them, we've brought players into the first team. But it's massively important, and you know, the academy's growing educationally and on a professional level now, and you know, Tom and the team and Paul Smith, etc., we're doing great, and I think numbers have grown to maybe 70-72. We're looking at getting to 100 mark next year. But you know, you're really proud as the first team I'd sit here tonight and look at, you know, 18 lads on display and think, you know, this is the future, and you know, this is what FC United are about. You know, we promote from within, and you know, do I need to go looking about when I've got likes of Sandro Da Costa and, you know, Tyler at left back? They're there, aren't they? And I think I'd be silly not to be looking at him like I did with Samoas when I first came in and put him on contract, and the next thing is at Barnsley.
I was going to say, I mean, we've seen, we were talking about it during the half actually, we've seen a few players in the FA Youth Cup. Samoas, Sam Baird, who's now playing his trade at Ashton United. I mean, it's been a good breeding ground, and the nuggets are there, aren't they?
Absolutely. You know, there's players out there, and I think when you give them the opportunity, and this is why it's key for them to come into the ground tonight, to play on the pitch, to see the dressing room. I mean, the fan base tonight is exceptional. You know, I'm looking around, and you know, I put a little tweet on last night to encourage as many fans as they could do as possible. But I never thought, you know, looking down the stand and looking in the SMRE, that there'd be so many people here. But it's great for the academy lads, and they've never played in front of a crowd this big, and it just bodes well for when they get into the first team.
Obviously, there's going to be another game here this weekend. Graham's doing a cracking job, isn't he? Yeah. In all fairness, Scarborough tomorrow. Just to say, Neil, this is live. It's not our pre-recorded chats we have on a Friday normally. But what's your thoughts heading into the game tomorrow?
It's a massive game, isn't it? You know, obviously Scarborough are going to be smarter from midweek. They've gone out of the FA Cup to Ashton. I've got to say that you get friendly with a lot of people in non-league football, but you get closer to a three, and I'm really close to their manager, Darren Kelly. I love what he stands for, I love what he does. I hope he's really successful at Scarborough. Obviously tomorrow, you know, we'll be both kicking every ball, and we want to do best for our team. But you know, I really hope that he's one of the few people in football that, you know, genuinely trust, and he's a good guy. But for us, you know, this time last year was a different story. We were going into the Scarborough fixture on the back of two defeats and arguably putting our worst performance of the season. We got beat 1-0. It was three defeats from three on the back of a relegation season, and question marks were rightly asked. Tomorrow we go into it 2-1 beaten on the back of a magnificent performance in midweek against Pontefract. So it's a game that we're really looking forward to, but we know that we're going to have to be at our very best to beat a really talented Scarborough side.
Wouldn't be a Friday night interview if I didn't ask you about Tunde Olaba. It's a joke.
No.
when it comes to that question, how are FC United going to score goals? Six on Tuesday night, that's not bad.
We've got to touch on it, Ben, because you know, I heard some of the comments after last Saturday's game and changed the formation again. But you know, leading scorers last season with the trusted 4-2-3-1, we were questioned again Saturday. We adopted the same formation, we made a few changes, and we scored six Tuesday night. So it's not about the formation, it's about lads getting in the right positions, lads being brave, lads taking the chance. Can the three behind the one get there? Can the two fullbacks get high and wide? Can we create opportunities? And we've seen Tuesday night, you know, we could have scored 10 with a similar formation. So I guess when you play one up front, people are always going to question when you don't score goals, you know, is it the right formation? It's brought me success at Bamber Bridge, it's brought me success at FC United, and I'm sure it'll continue to bring success, but it is a talking point. But for me, it's 4-2-4, it's 4-1-1-2-1, it's 4-3-3, it's whatever way, which way you make it. Tunde Olabi, I keep saying it, amazing talent. Yeah. We've moved on from it. We've got Dan Cochrane and Michael Fowler, and I think Cochrane.
Both had it, Ian.
Yeah, I think Cochrane introduced himself to the FC fans on Tuesday night, and Fowler's going to be a hit down here. He's worked right, and I'm sure goals will come. So, you know, we look forward to tomorrow.
I'm not going to ask you about fitness or anything like that and the injury worries, but good luck tomorrow. And we'll catch up, and thank you for joining us at our
no time. Problem. I mean, I will finish with, we made 5 changes on Tuesday night, and I think there'll be another 5 changes tomorrow because fitness concerns are a worry, but you know, we'll see everyone down at Broadhurst Park tomorrow. We'll do everything we can to win the game.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome back to Broadhurst Park. You join us here, well, it's not as sunny as last week, but it's alright, it's football, isn't it? Northern Premier League football. And joining me for this commentary this afternoon, bringing the heart and Sewell of any FC United broadcast, Roy Sewell's back, everyone. Hi, Roy.
Hi there, Ben, and hi there, everybody.
The most important question I have to ask you, Roy,
yes,
is how are you?
Absolutely tip-top, no problem.
Yeah? You're back on it?
I am, yeah.
Good. And we had a little shot of you there. Can you not hear me? You're looking at me like the cat's talking.
You keep going on and off. You sound a little bit like Norman Collier.
Right, I'll fix it for you in a second. But anyway, FC United taking on Scarborough this afternoon. Roy, what's your thoughts on this afternoon's game? Scarborough have been recruiting very well over the summer with Darren Kelly, having a pre-season under his belt. This is going to be a tough game for FC.
It is going to be a very tough game, and to be honest, I mean, one good thing on Scarborough's point of view is that Darren is no longer a stranger. He's actually settled into the job and understands, you know, their wants and their needs, you know, for the level of class that the football club has.
And there's some class on this Scarborough team sheet. We'll come to the FC United team in a second, but the name that shines out, Nathan Cartman, goal machine.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, I think the last time he was here, I think he scored for Darlington, if memory serves. He's been phenomenal. Still only 30, and he's going to be one to watch today for the FC United defence.
Yeah, he's got a great little pedigree about him as well. I mean, he was at Leeds United, you know, as a kid and come through their academy and what have you, you know. But I know Nathan, and I won't say that I know him absolutely as a bosom buddy, but he knows me, and I'm aware of him, shall we say.
There we go. And FC United fans should be very aware of Kieran Glynn. Went to Salford. I think he went to Southport as well at some point. It didn't quite work out at Salford. He came on loan to Scarborough. And I get the impression Darren's kind of picked him back up. And he's committed to Scarborough for the season to come. And he's undoubtedly a talent.
Kieran Glynn is a good footballer on his day, if you allow him to be that footballer, then he'll do it at the cost of you. So get your own game sorted out, nail him early doors, and let him know you're there for the rest of it.
Let's talk about our game then this afternoon. FC United, there was a question mark over a few players from obviously the league game last week against Nantwich. Some changes made for the Pontefract Coles game midweek. It was a good outing midweek as well, 6-2 victory in the FA Cup. You know, the draw with Nantwich isn't a bad way to start the season, but I do get the impression this might be the starting 11 Neil was thinking about in pre-season. It's Lavercombe, Morris, Dodd, Griffiths, Doyle, Jones, Ennis, Potts, Fowler, Donoghue, Linney. That's his starting 11, isn't it, really?
I would say so, because, I mean, you look at the two, you know, that have come in and, you know, took the place of Belford and Tunde. And after that, it's a very, very settled side, you know. So, you know, the other lads that have come in, you've got Humpson Smith, haven't you? You know, obviously, he was here with us last year. Jack Lenehan as well. Again, you know, a regular lad. The rest have got to fight and worked their way into his ideas and into his plans, like, you know. So, but it is a fairly settled side from last year, so they have got them, you know, that thing going for them, especially the back four, which was for me, you know, the main strength of FC last year.
One thing that we've been discussing is, and it might seem a bit odd to be discussing this given the fact we scored 6 goals midweek, is how do you replace Tunde? But Neil seems to think we can share the goals out. Another element to it is as well is, if we concede as less goals than we scored last year, we don't have to score as many, which might be another factor.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, you know, for me, I felt, you know, everybody talks about Tunde, you know, as being the saviour and what have you, you know, and the get-out clause, you know, for FC United. But I really, really felt that Belford was a big factor as well. You know, if you can stop them going in, then it gives you the opportunity of scoring at the other end, and that was the fortunate scenario for FC United last year. You know, Belford did really, really well. I know we had a couple of silly little moments, but on the whole, I felt that not only Tunde led to FC having that little charge up the league, but I thought Belford was a focal point.
One player who's popped up, I say popped up, I think he's bounced back really, is Michael Donoghue. Man of the match performance last week, man of the match performance midweek, playing central midfield, and I think in this lineup here he will be playing central midfield with Griffiths and Potts, and I think that's very, very exciting, because I think those three, if they're on it, teaming up in midfield, I think that's the best midfield trio. Well, it'll be up there in the league, certainly.
It will be, and Michael Donoghue, to be honest, I just felt he was very unfortunate to find himself maybe sitting on the bench for the amount of times that he did last year, because in all the games that I actually watched him play, I always thought he brought something, you know, to the table on every single occasion, and I feel that Paul Ennis falls into that group as well. I think he's it's a little bit of sparkles of individual skill that create openings for other players, and shooting possibilities for himself. I think have been there all the time. But there again, you know, if the manager feels that he has a certain blend that he wants to work to, then, you know, he's the one in the driving seat, and he's the one who has to carry the, shall we say, the complaints or the pats on the back if they come his way. So, you know, leave it down to the manager, and the points and the position of the team in the division will say its own sort of story.
Substitutes this afternoon, Dan Cockerline, Morgan Humson-Smith, Jack Lenhan, Tom Steed and Kane Dean. Just a mention for Dan Cockerline, he came on as a substitute on Saturday, looked really, really on it, played on Tuesday, but he's not really had much of the pre-season, so he's basically been rested today. But I think we've seen enough of him in the first two games to see that he's going to be a good addition to the squad. But Michael Fowler is the one, and, you know, Neil's been, you know, at pains to say, don't put pressure on the lad. He's here for not just goal scoring, but involving players like Ennis, like Linney. And if those two players score 10 goals and Fowler scores 10 goals, then you're not too far off the 30 that we're missing.
And the thing is, like, you know, with Fowler, he's more of a target man, isn't he? You know, he sits up there, he'll load the ball up, he'll bring players into play. Thing is, like, you know, at the end of the day, you look at the squad, and if he, for any reason at all, drops out of the starting 11, then what have you got to back him up? You know, and that's what I'd look at. You know, I'm looking more at the depth, and I think what you've got in that starting 11 there at this moment in time is the best bunch. Yeah. End of story. So if any of those sort of drop out, I hope these lads are ready to stake a claim, and instead of just waiting for an opportunity to put a shirt on, there's a difference.
Yes, absolutely. Well, FC United taking on Scarborough this afternoon in the Northern Premier League Premier Division. Obviously, this game was meant to be played at the Flamingoland Stadium, but due to ongoing COVID issues over in North Yorkshire, it's here. And quite glad. I mean, I'm enjoying this run of home matches. Here comes Jones now. Jones plays it to Donoghue. Donoghue, under a bit of pressure, does well. Turn and pace, beats Gooder. Still with the ball, Donoghue.
Donoghue just behind Ennis, doesn't get to Potts, clearance.
Only
as far as Griffiths. Griffiths does indeed switch it to Dodd. Dodd brings it down well. Dodd now infield. That's great stuff from the fullback. Dodd!
Oh! Hit the outside of the post that there, Ben.
You heard it, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But what a great run by Donoghue. I think Donoghue, to me, at this moment in time, is the FC player. You know, he's looking for stuff, he's supporting, he's working hard. He's not wasted that many passes. I can think of one that is wasted, but other than that, he's trying to support the play. He's trying to edge the play up the field. Great little turn previously, you know, in his own half, and made like 20 yards with the ball before popping it off. The others need to start, you know, learning off what he's actually shown them, how to win this game.
Well, Dodd's got hold of the ball now. It's a throw into FC United. Plays it to Griffiths. Griffiths back to Dodd. Dodd under pressure. Plays the ball down the line. Barrett plays it back, though, and Watson. But he finds its way to Jones. Jones towards Fowler. Fowler with that, looking to chest the ball to some support runners, but it's cleared by Scarborough. And now it's back towards the halfway line. And can Potts get on this ball? Potts can get on this ball. And he's got options left and right. Potts still with the ball, finds Linney. Linney's onside. Yes, Linney lined up a shot. Oh. Good save from Whitley. Here's Jones to Griffiths. Griffiths now. That's a pass to no one in particular, but Griffiths is going to get to the second ball. Is he? Glynn's there.
Oh,
Griffiths.
Nah, that was a naughty one.
On Glynn, and that's given the reaction.
He jumped it. Oh, he's got the card. Yeah,
red card for Griffiths. Yeah. And well,
he jumped in. It was a scissors, and he made contact just above the ankle. On Kieran Glynn. No way he was going to stay on the field.
No. And the clearance made only as far as Linney. Linney now, he plays the ball square to Potts. Potts. There's not many options on at the moment, and Potts decides to go it alone, but Coates is there.
Well done.
Potts does brilliantly.
Well done.
Threads
well
the ball
done.
Through to Fowler. Is it going to fall to Fowler? No, he keeps the ball anyway. Here's Linney. Linney lining up across to Potts. Here's Hunter Smith. Oh, straight at the goalkeeper. Oh. I mean, to be fair, Roy, look how many bodies those Scarborough are throwing at that ball.
Yeah, definitely. But there's two opportunities there where FC, Linney could have had a shot first time. Fowler could have had a shot first time, and the pair of them just shifted the ball onto someone else. Take responsibility yourself when you get the opportunity.
Well, it is a free kick, and we're 22 minutes into this second half. FC down to 10 men. And Scarborough here with an opportunity. It's more or less a corner, isn't it? It's not too far from the corner flag over on the far side.
I wonder if Watson's going to have another supersonic shot from there.
Well, it's a tight angle, isn't it? It is Ryan Watson to take this. He fires it in. Ooh. And the goalkeeper has to deal with it. And on the back post there was Harry Coates. And the angle was tight and wide it goes. Good noise, though, from the SMRE and main stand paddock, as you can hear.
I tell you what, I was going to say that in the first half. I was, I was quite pleased with the support that FC have got there. You know, the lads are shouting them on as usual. It's never in question that for me. You see,
15 minutes left to play of normal time. Corner ball to FC United. Hompson Smith to take from the right hand side. In it comes on his left foot towards the near post. It's headed clear though. It doesn't beat the first man. But Potts is going to get to that clearance. Potts now.
Good ball.
Finds Morris. Morris, a lot to do. Clearance made. Hompson Smith picks up possession. Hompson Smith towards Cockerline. Going to break to Morris. Morris now on this right hand side. Gets it to Linney. Linney, can he beat Bishop?
Well,
he
done.
Can.
Do it.
Linney, shot comes in. Charged down there by Coghill. Linney wins the ball back. He's dribbling around the penalty area at the moment. Shot comes in from Linney. Charged down. Back to Hompson Smith. Hompson Smith now still with the ball. Shot comes in.
Ooh.
Oh, and Hompson Smith drags it wide.
Again, Linney caused a little bit of worry there, definitely in Scarborough's back line and defensive areas. But he had an opportunity initially when the ball came to him to strike that ball first time, and he delayed on it. And he ended up working the ball across onto his weakest left-footed side into the centre of the goal. If he'd have struck it first time, it can come off anybody. Just chance your arm, do it.
Well, it's a goal kick for Scarborough. It feeds it through to Jones. And at the moment, FC United are in the ascendancy in this game. And the referee blows up 4 seconds early. 0-0 the score. pick the right, Roy. Pick the bones out of that one for me. Scarborough have a man advantage for a good chunk of that second half, yet it feels like FC United should have won that game.
In a, shall I say, the second half of the second half, FC played with a load more urgency, a load more determination. Basically, since the player got sent off, like, you know what I mean, Griffiths, and it's a pity that they didn't show that urgency and that determination to want to succeed, to want to score earlier in the game, because they could have won this game. I don't feel that Scarborough in any way, shape or form have broke their mould from the first moment that they kicked this game off.
How odd is that? Because they didn't change it, did they?
No,
and if anything,
one sub on, and the
if
sub,
anything, it looked like Scarborough 10 men.
Yeah, and it also looked like the sub that they put on,
Cadman,
was trying to keep the game at 0-0 so that they came away with a result rather than a win, you know. So like I say, I just think I'm disappointed with the early three quarters of FC, because,
well, let's go back to
Scarborough, were there for the taking.
Let's go back to the first half. I mean, FC United in the first half, there wasn't too many chances created. I'm trying to remember if Ravikin had a proper save to make. I don't. He, maybe that free kick from Watson from this tight angle where he had to punch it.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
I think that was it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In the first half, the best chance, because there wasn't that many from FC either, it fell to Dodd, and he rattled it against the far post, didn't he?
Yeah.
But I think that's, in the second half, there wasn't too many chances FC created. They were all at the goalkeeper, weren't they? Mostly.
I think they created the opportunities. They didn't make the most of the opportunities, because through just basic doggedness and the fact that they were one man down, they were made to up the game in the urgency, in the tenacity, and then in the involvement, you know, within the game, to try and get themselves on a level par through the work rate rather than the numbers. And I just feel that FC have lost an opportunity here against a very mediocre side.
In defence of the forward line from FC United, there was several occasions there where FC United, I can remember Linney trying to create something and Hobson Smith eventually creating the chance. It was like early 90s Holland, that Scarborough were throwing bodies at the ball, and that's what I was saying earlier. It was like they were at 10 men. It was,
yeah.
It was really odd the way the game was playing out, especially in that second half when FC were down, when Luke Griffiths was sent off. Just to mention for the defensive line as well, we obviously gave a bit of fanfare to Nathan Cartman. Ultimately, Jones and Doyle won quite comfortably in the end. They had nothing.
You're talking about two lads that are 6 foot two, 6 foot three apiece. Cartman, who's what, 5 foot six? You know, to be honest, he was on his own there. This is what I'm saying. I cannot understand the shape or the tactics of a Scarborough team with a prolific goal scorer in, and they've not supported him. Very similar to be honest, to Fowler. Fowler wasn't getting supported neither. You know, they were just single forwards who were just waiting to get picked off by either the four, the six, or the five.
I have to say as well, I don't think Cockerline was getting much support from the referee when he came on. He was being
he did get pushed a few times, didn't he? And one of them, to be honest, was about 10 yards from the referee, and he was looking right at it, because I'm behind the referee, you know, in his line of vision.
So it's two draws for FC United. Nantwich, Scarborough, I would suggest, you know, as someone who keeps an eye on the Northern Premier League at the start of the season, you'd suggest that Nantwich and Scarborough would be in the playoff shake-up, and therefore a point against both isn't necessarily a bad thing. When it comes to the next game, that's Hyde United on Tuesday night. FC United have famously loved, under Neil Reynolds, have loved that pitch at Ewan Fields.
Yeah.
It's one of those games that we have to win, really, don't we? If we're going to
It's interesting.
Take it from here.
It'd be interesting to know what Hyde's score is against Shelf Shields, because I'll tell you what, it was 0-0 at half time.
0-0 at full time, Roy.
And it's 0-0 full time. Do you know what? That's a better draw than this draw here against Scarborough. I don't think that's going to be a cakewalk.
Hyde a bit better. I mean, Hyde were decent last year considering the financial constraints and that kind of thing.
They were steady, yeah.
McGurk's Hyde, you know, he's brought in some good players. So yeah. it'll be interesting. It's an interesting game, that one on Tuesday now.
Yeah, and he's not bad tactically neither.
We'll be hearing from Neil Reynolds in a second or two. I'll also be giving you the full-time scores from elsewhere. I might as well give you those full-time scores now. What a second half this was at Silverlands. Buxton 2, Whitby Town 2. Jacob Hazel scoring an equaliser there for Whitby with 10 minutes to play. No surprise there. Jacob Hazel, cracking player. And, yeah, 2-2 between those two. That's quite an outcome. Grantham Town 1, Atherton Coles 2. Atherton Coles scoring the winner from the penalty spot on 86 minutes. So first win of the season there for Brad Cook and Atherton Coles. 0-0, as I said earlier, between Hyde United and South Shields. Matlock Town 2, Stafford Rangers 0. Micklover Sports 1, Morpeth Town 2. Micklover nearly getting back into that game, but Andrew Johnson scoring the win on 68 minutes for Morpeth. Nantwich Town 3, Stalybridge Celtic 0. Nantwich Town 1-0 up at half time. 3-0 is final score. Radcliffe 1, Witten Albion 4 was the final score, with Scott Bacall scoring a hat-trick there, first half hat-trick for Witten Albion. And Warrington Town 3, Gainsborough Trinity 0. And what that does to the table is FC United have dropped down the table to 15th. Sack the board, I say. Sack the board. We're going to be hearing from Neil Reynolds as I put the microphone there, as he comes up the ladder to join us here in the gantry. Hi Neil, how are you?
Oh, devastated.
Now this is weird for me, because Scarborough looked like the team who were down to 10 men hanging on at the end. I mean, what's your thoughts on the last 15 minutes in particular?
We were magnificent. We were absolutely magnificent second half. Just the character in the side, the togetherness in the side. Listen, I'm not going to question the red card. I've just said to Luke in there, he gives the ball away twice, come off the ground, it's a red card. But you know what? He's been magnificent for us time and again, and probably not got the superlatives he deserved. And I could just see the lads, they were gutted for him, and they just went up a notch, and they were brilliant. We outrun them in every area and we outpassed them, and that's testament to them boys in there. I'm so proud of them. So proud of them.
And it was throughout the game, really, FC United, there was a bit of impetus to get to the final third, but when we got there, especially in the first half, I can only remember Dodd hitting the post. It wasn't really...
First half wasn't good enough. And I said, it wasn't that we didn't get there. Our passing was woeful in the first half. And I said that, I said to him at half time, I said, Sometimes people criticise work ethic, etc. I couldn't do. It was just sponsor giveaway first half, and you know, everybody. It was just, and when we relax and play, we're so good. You know, we're so good, and I think what happens is when you give one ball away and someone else gives it away, it kind of just spreads throughout the team, and we addressed it at half time, and I also thought we were too deep as a back line, but it's come out of the way we did second half and do what we did. You know, I thought we were going to win it. I really did.
There was some impetus there. I mean, I'm fed up of asking the same questions, but Donoghue and Potts, really, driving the thing, weren't they?
You know, I'm going to sound like a broken record. Potts is my captain. He's outstanding. You know, he's absolutely outstanding. Michael Donoghue, flipping heck. I don't know how much energy he has. And he's not his energy. He's got quality all over the park. He's got that fire in his belly as well. He's got tenacity. He loves a challenge. He loves a header. He's getting better, isn't he? He's getting better. But it spreads, you know, and now we're getting Michael Donoghue, Michael Potts back to the best. I played midfield career. I wouldn't like to play against him.
There is a question about the way that game panned out, because, like I said, Scarborough were the ones who looked like they were on the back foot, and they didn't really change it to gain much impetus against you. Was there anything that maybe you could have done from a tactical perspective? I mean, you swapped like for like, really, in the forward line. I mean, was there...
Because we were down to 10, and we have to go 4-4-1. It's an hard one, because as soon as you sacrifice the wide man, because we talked about it, and they go 2 up top, 3-4, 4-3-2, the left back, you could see he could get out time and again, and he did a couple of times. And I just think if we would have sacrificed on the midfielder, he would have got even more joy, and that's probably their best player. So it was like for like, but I thought, you know, again, Fowles was just starved. Dan come on, you know, I thought he'd scored. Morgan should score. Regan, it's a penalty all day long, by the way.
I said that.
It's a penalty all day long. But it's difficult, isn't it? But you know, I can't tell you how I feel. You know, 12 months ago we played 3, lost 3 against Scarborough, worst performance of the season. I sit here now, you know, and look what happened last season. Now we're 3 unbeaten in the next round of the FA Cup. Look forward to high Tuesday, so I'm happy.
It's a question I asked James and Keg last week about, you know, Nantwich Town. At the start of the day, I think you would have took a point against Nantwich Town. Here, it's difficult, isn't it? Would you have took a point against Scarborough, or do you feel like, you know, given how we played with 10 men, it could have been a bit more?
So, I'll give away what I said before the game. I said, I'll take a point to you, Ben. You know, and these are big sides. You know, we couldn't have asked for a tougher start. And we've had a tough start, but top teams cancel each other out. That's what happens. So, you know, it might be that Scarborough go and pump somebody 3 or 4 nil and they have a go. Today they come to cancel us out. They sat in a 4-5-1 rigid formation. They didn't change second half. They're delighted with a point. You know, well done to Scarborough for getting a point. Today just wasn't our day in front of goal. But, you know, maybe on the balance of play, look at the last half an hour and you think, no, we would have won the game. We should have won the game. But it doesn't always go for you in football. Tuesday night, you know, we're going to score 6 and everything goes in. Today, it didn't go for us, but you can't question the desire, commitment and character, and, you know, and the fans singing, we're proud of you at the end. They could see we've had a go.
I mean, I'll come to the crowd towards the end, but the other thing we have to say is it is a clean sheet. And you've had that back four back together for the first time since Barrow, friendly.
First time since Barrow.
You know, they've had Cartman, they've had Watson in front of them. They've done all right.
It's a good forward line. You know, but like I said, we've got that back four out once in pre-season and we know how good they are. And it's a clean sheet for them with Dan in behind him. I thought again was magnificent. So, you know, as a manager, you know, a clean sheet is brilliant. And sometimes, you know, them defenders will come off the pitch tonight like players should do when they score goals. They should be really proud of themselves. Today, I'm not going to say the top lads didn't do it because I thought they tried to walk a straight, different patterns at the top end, and it just wasn't to be today.
Yeah, my feelings are, to be honest, Neil, I think that in the first half, the passing was so poor. I mean, we're giving possession away time and time again, which gave them a little bit of emphasis to come on to us. They didn't do that.
No.
They weren't capable of doing it. I thought they were very, very bland from the moment that the game kicked off to the last whistle. And my feelings are that I just felt that when we got the man sent off and we went down to 10 men, to go to, I actually said it in the commentary, to go to a 4-3-2 and sling another forward on there, because I felt that if we tied their two centre backs up, then little bits would have come for either Potsey or Donners, because I thought Donoghue was top draw today.
I mean, can we can't give Donoghue the third man of the match straight,
I absolutely think
if he earns it.
And I challenge anybody for not giving it him. He's magnificent. You know, I can't tell. I said that to Darren Kelly said to me at the end, he went, what a player you've got there in Donoghue. You know, we've always known we've had that player, but no, keep praising him, because, you know, he didn't get enough of it last season because of what happened with his personal life. He's come back a changed man possessed, and, you know,
he was here, there and everywhere. He was instigating, he was making tackles, he was coming away, he was making runs, he was supporting play. He'd started a move over there, he'd end up over here, looking, you know, in a supporting manner. I thought he had an outstanding game, and I'd say just behind him, and he was behind him, Potsey, again, you know, beavering away, you know, at the ball, getting the ball, looking for those little touches through, you know, and supporting the play again.
And they do, you know. I was, you know, touching on that, Roy, I was disappointed, and it wasn't just with one or two. You know, from the first minute, Aaron Morris to Curtis Jones' first pass to Doyley's first one, Dan Laver coming next puts one out of the side.
Yeah, he did.
And
it
just went right through. And then, you know, I said to Potsey and to Donners and to Griff. Griff was poor on the ball today. But you look at the passing quality we have in the side. It's just one of the things. Sometimes it happens. You can't control it. It's a mental thing, especially when you start giving the ball away and then you force the next pass and you try and keep ball. We've all been there. You know, even little sets up top from foul was bouncing off him. But, you know, we said at half time that and we addressed it. And I always got taught that, you know, if I hit a 40-yard ball and it doesn't come off, make sure your next one's a 5-yard ball and just, you know, keep your attention to passing. And we did that, you know, and we certainly, you know, and I said to Potsey and Donners, be brave for to go in behind. 46 minute, Potsey's in behind, you know. They take instructions on board and they're devastated in there. There's a dressing room. They are absolutely gutted. You know, the chins are on the floor. And Brian's put his arm around me the last kick of the game, well, you should be really proud of them today. You need to tell them when I am. But you've got a winning dressing room in there that knows we're really looking up to win the game. So that, for me, I'll take that.
Next up, Hyde United. Yeah. It's going to be a good game, that. I think
it was last year. You know, we probably put in one of our best performances of the season last season against Hyde, or against, you know, every time we played Hyde. But it'd be tough. You know, they'll certainly be organised if signed well. I think they've got a couple of our old players that are there now. So, you know, we've got to dust ourselves down and go. You know, and go and give it a real good go on Tuesday night. And, you know, this is a big week for the football club. Massive week. You know, Curzon Ashton in the FA Cup. And depending on what happens, you know, in terms of guidance, etc., we'll see. But, you know, as a football manager, as a football player, as a fan, you know, you look at the next two games, you go Hyde, local derby, FA Cup, local derby. You've got a loads to look forward to.
And final question, really, and it's an easy softball question for you, Neil, but it's a good question. That crowd there. I mean, you were down to 10 men, but you weren't really, were you? Because that was excellent.
Honestly, 600, I said it the other night, they just got louder and louder and louder, and the main Sam Paddock and the SMRE were going at each other, and you know, they could see my reaction on the side and we were whipping things up, and you could feel it, you could sense it around the ground today that the fans were proud of the boys, and they knew we had a really good go, and I know this place, the roof would have come off, we would have scored at the end, but you know, you only have to hear them singing at the end. They know, them fans know that they've got a bunch of lads here, they'll never quit, they'll never give up on them, and some days it won't go for them, some days it will, but you know, as a squad of players, you know, we couldn't say thanks any more than what we do, because you know, we love these fans and hopefully they love us, and you know, we're going to enjoy the ride together. But just want to say a big, big thank you, and I can't wait to hear the noise on Tuesday night against Hyde.
Neil Reynolds there speaking to FC Live on Saturday afternoon following his side's 0-0 draw with Scarborough Athletic. Next up for the Reds will be Tuesday night's league game at Hyde United's Ewan Fields. There are significant changes to matchday arrangements this season due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, so for ticketing information ahead of this game, please visit www.fc-utd.co.uk. But if you cannot make this game in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll have full commentary on Tuesday evening right here on FC Radio. Tune in from 7:30 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. But that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club. A big thank you to everyone involved in FC Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio. Officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.